Hello and welcome to a podcast brought to you by The Religion of Aston Villa.
We're a social media account on Twitter and Facebook that wants to get our voices out there and heard, so please join us.
Hello guys and welcome to another episode. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the Watford defeat, the Brighton preview, and obviously Callum is on the loan watch again. And talking about all the players on loan and obviously any other news that's come out from Villa Park this past week. So as I mentioned, I'm joined by Callum as always, and we have just took a loss to the worst team in the league. Well, it was, they was 20th when it happened. And obviously, after their victory against stuff, they've jumped up to 18th. So as always, we'll start with the lineup, because if you remember back to the Newcastle game, that he said there was going to be changes, quote unquote changes. And when I looked through the squad, I was a bit disappointed to find that the only change, obviously it was one that I agreed with, was Watkins for Ings. But personally, the way he was talking, I think he kind of bottled it, because I thought there should have been more changes. So what do you think about the lineup?
I mean, like you just said it there, it's either he's bottled it or the players have performed in training to kind of be like, oh, well, don't drop us because actually we are deserving of the spot. I mean, it's like you just said, really, we expected a few changes, but in our last podcast, I said there'll either be no changes or 3, 4, 5 changes. So, I mean, before kickoff, I think you'd have taken the team, but we knew that the game before it wasn't good enough. So there had to have been an increase in performance. In the end, that didn't happen, or there wasn't enough of it. So if there were supposed to be changes for this game, I can't wait for the Brighton lineup.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, because it's like you said, is I thought there would have been quite a few changes. I thought he would have gone for it and made a bit of a statement, but obviously that wasn't the way it went. So but for this game, like, normally we do break it down and we do, you know, go into detail over the first half and then, you know, ask, you know, for the second half and do the same again. But in all honesty, there isn't that many highlights. There isn't that much to talk about. It was just a very poor game. So basically, some of the highlights that, you know, we can touch on is obviously the Danny Ings penalty, which we'll start with that. Do you think it was a penalty?
I mean, when you slow it down and have a proper look, no. After watching the highlights back on Sky on YouTube, they don't even include it, so they must think that it's not big enough to be a highlight of the entire game. So no, I thought corner was a fair result.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, when I first saw it, I was like, that's a penalty. I don't know how he's missed that, but as you said, excuse me, that it was the right decision. And then, like I say, for that first half, there was just quite a few saves, really, from Martinez. I mean, there was the one good chance from Saar, and that Martinez pulled out a very top quality save, as he always does. But for you, was there anything else to really talk about in that first half?
I mean, the problem is spoiling the end of the game. We have no end product, and you know, we've had some great bits of actual football being played in and around, you know, their half and their 18-yard box, but nothing to show for it at the end of it. You know, there was a great pass, I think it's from Buendia, trying to get Ings through, but it was just cut out on the 18-yard box. Watford actually was able to keep their shape for, you know, the majority of the game, if not all of it. And their game plan was to counter us, and you know, Gerrard said in his press conference, we knew what they were going to come and do. But if you knew that, then we wouldn't have conceded. So, and it started off really early, you know. They, yeah, like you said, they had that chance with Saar. And then the, was it Dennis chance? It was, yeah, a fantastic save from Martinez. Then after that, it's a bit of a stalemate. Ings hit the post, but it was offside anyway. But again, it was lovely build-up, lovely play just before the goal. And the only thing I took away from that first half was that Martinez kept us in it. We were playing some good football. Chambers was like 5 to 10 yards more advanced than Mings was, which helped giving us options in midfield to not, you know, go all the way back to the halfway line. But the negatives were that we had no end product and nothing to show for it in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, like you're touching about Emi Buendia, that, you know, he did some... I thought he had quite a good game. I don't think anybody was outstanding. Probably Martinez kept us in it, in all honesty. But I did see a stat that he created 5 chances for Villa today, which is the most in the Premier League for Villa, which shows you that the guy is, you know, he is getting better week after week after week. And as you mentioned, his press conference, I'm going to touch on that at the end because I'm not happy with his press conference, which I will explain later on. But in that first half, as you said, there wasn't really much to talk about other than a few good saves and obviously an offside, which in all fairness, Ings, those are the positions Ings should be living and hungry for, because that's what we bought him for, those kind of positions. So for him to be offside, it is what it is, but he still think he should be finishing those, you know, just to show you that. Because if he wasn't offside, yeah, I think that would have been a bit of a boo-boo. But going into the second half, I mean, same again, really. I haven't really got much. I know there was the Coutinho chance and obviously the goal. So the goal itself, I mean, what do you think of it? Because it, like you said, that Gerrard already talked about that he knew there was going to counter-attack. And that was just pure counter-attack. And the one thing that annoyed me was how much time he had on the ball to cross that ball in. I mean, he must have had a good 10, 15 seconds before he even whipped that ball in. And he just didn't get closed down at all.
Yeah, you know, the problem I've got with the goal, and I'm, you know, watching it back right now, they're running down their left-hand side. You know, Ashley Young's out of position. By that point, he's on for cash. You got Ramsey, the closest player to the ball, but Mings goes across, which is, you know, fair enough. And Ramsey watched the runner inside. He dinks Mings. Mings is stood with his both feet on the ground while the player is near enough ready to cross the ball. As he's crossed the ball, Dean is easily 15 yards away from Saar, which gives him time to get the ball down. And, you know, he's got, you know, Dean is expecting Saar to go down the line. And that's how he's shaped his body, because that's what he's done previously. But this time he's had 4 seconds with the ball at his feet with nothing happening. You know, it's still, it's dull. You know, he manages to whip in a cross, which Dean, you know, his body isn't in the way of it. I think the overlap or the potential of an overlap has put his head that way, kind of thing. And Young, you know, he actually starts off with 2 yards on Dennis, but Dennis reads the play. And I think Young's actually messing around with his socks at the time of the cross. No, he's just bent too far down and he's trying to usher him away, but it's too late. And you're not, you know, Young's not the beefiest of guys. And, you know, he tries to do his best to put Dennis off, but it goes in the back of the net and you can't blame Martinez for that. I think it was the one or two times that our defence was really lacklustre in the whole game, because I did think first half defensively we were okay apart from that, you know, that early Saar chance. So, you know, it was a bit frustrating how we were cut open the way that we were. And, you know, that we allowed two players, you know, the one for the pass to Saar in the build-up and then Saar with the assist, to have so much time on the ball before the ball is played. I think at the moment, I've said it to a few people, the fullbacks are a problem right now. And I think Gerrard needs to turn down his tactics a little bit, because he's bombing them on, and it worked into Watford's hands every single time. You know, they had a counter early on in the first half, didn't pay off. You know, they had another one, and then you had Martinez making two saves in the last 10 minutes, you know, two crucial saves in the last 10 minutes to keep it at 1-0. So something needs to change soon. And I'm pretty sure, you know, he won't want to change his ways, but he's going to have to, because for me to have in my notes, Watford's all four of Watford's shot on target. And, you know, I don't even have Villa's shot on target, with us having 20 shots to one on target. It's, you know, a bit of a joke. And there's, you know, I said on Facebook, it was, you know, poor, terrible, woeful, you know, the list goes on. There's not enough synonyms to say how bad the performance was. It's just, you know, being at home as well, 60% possession. In times there was good bits of football. It just is that, you know, that thing that I've been saying for the last few weeks is we are not good in the final third at the moment, and that's what's costing us really big time.
Yeah, it is exactly that. And I think Gerrard does need to, I think he's got to change what we're doing, because it was just lackluster. And every time we seem to go forward, it's just really slow. Like the build up to get to the final third is just silly. And there's too many sideways passes. There's too many, like just not enough shooting. Like it looked like you said, is like Watford had, I mean, we had like 20 shots, but only one on target, which is, I don't even know what that works out percentage wise comparing the two, but that's just, it's silly. It's just not good enough.
Well, when it'd be 5%, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? I worked out as I was saying it, to be fair. Yeah. I was like, yeah, do you know what? But when you think about that, Ings and Watkins combined last season have had over 30 Premier League goals, and we just can't get a tune out of them. And this is a big issue, is that the fact is, I said this on Twitter, that if we lose this game against Watford, we are potentially going to be in a relegation battle. We have lost that game. There, okay, then there is 9 points between it. Fair enough, there's 9 points. But if we're struggling to score goals at home, we've basically made Watford look good. Okay, fair enough. Then, like you said, there was good football. We were playing well. But we just can't finish. I mean, it's mad to think we've gone from a 3-3 thriller against Leeds, and then two teams below us, obviously, I know Leeds were below us at the time, but having Newcastle and Watford, who are both, you know, looking in to go down, and then they both turn up against us, is shocking. And Watford, what, haven't won in six, I think it was, or seven, hadn't scored in four, and then they go and do this to us. It's just typical Villa. And I don't know where to go from here. This is the thing, because I thought this is going to be the game where our season turns. We always have that one game where we turn up, we beat them, and then we kind of kick on. Okay, then we always, few games in the line, we falter again, and we just kind of do that. We yo-yo. And I thought today's game was going to be that, you know, Watkins probably get a goal, Ings maybe. They get, you know, full of confidence, and then we kick on for the next few games, and then we'll, you know, come up against an Arsenal or something like that, lose, and then, you know, it's just the way we are as a club. We up and down. Boing, boing, as the Albion would say. But it's not. And I just don't know where to go. I don't know what we do from here. I'm just unconcerned, really, because there's just, it's just worrying. It's just very worrying, because do you think, okay, like I said, there's a couple of questions. I said this before we come on. There was a couple of questions I'm going to ask through the podcast, and this goes to anybody that listens to this. Does anybody else think that maybe Gerrard has made it aware, like Target, that they're not wanted, that we're going to be looking to replace in the summer? And the problem is we're having to play those players. So in essence, I'm asking you, do you think he's kind of lost, not the dressing room, but certain players?
I mean, I think if he's opened up too much, then that is a big problem. Because obviously you're going to lose players, you know, determination, motivation, you know, desire, spirit, all them kind of things. I don't see him being a manager that would do that. I know he's new into the building and he'd probably be like, well, you haven't been playing well. We'll see at the end of the summer what happens. Mm. It's difficult to say. You know, I think it's been, well, this is the podcast that we've been the most critical of. And, you know, I'm not blaming it, you know, us for that or any other Villa fans, because we have a right to be critical when the time is right. And that time is, I think, is right now. You know, there's obviously when we had games against the likes of United and Chelsea and in Liverpool and, you know, the likes of that, where you can kind of go, oh, yeah, well, we lost, but, you know, we played all right, so we'll move on to the next one. But when it's like the teams around us against Everton, you know, the last four, really, Everton, Leeds, Newcastle, Watford, you could have possibly been looking at 12 points there with the, you know, how the other teams, the opponents, how they were, you know, were with injuries and, you know, form and stuff like that. And to say that we've only come away with four is incredible. You just don't know what it's down to. Obviously, we've had a few players out of injury, you know, having to gel with a few people from the window. It's a really hard one to pick at, because, you know, we say our next game is Brighton and, you know, they've not picked up a point in like three games or something like that. But can you easily say that we can go ahead and win that game? You know, probably not. On the other side, if you flip it around, we could still technically easily finish inside the top 10. You know, we could go on a run of games where, you know, we beat the next three teams and we are in 10th place. The season is still there. You know, we can, you know, there's possibility of even taking 9th. Or we'd be better than, I say better than the rest, because 12th would probably be better than the worst. So, you know, one hand, we are going for a massively tough spell right now. But, you know, the silver lining is we could still technically get 9th, which would be huge. But if we finish, you know, where we are, 12th, or, you know, God forbid, even lower, then, you know, you can say goodbye to Coutinho joining next season. You can, you know, other targets as well, because they'll see, oh, well, you finished in the the bottom half of the table. I am joining for you. So, you know, it's going to be one of those. It's a massive roller coaster. There's going to be some ups, there's going to be some downs, and we're a bit of a down right now. But, you know, the only thing that you can do is have, you know, I hope that they've had a bollocking, all the players. And I think Gerrard said that he had an honest talk with the players in the dressing room afterwards. So there needs to be some, you know, I don't know, rallying up. However Gerrard does that, I don't know. But we need, you know, it's before it becomes a problem, a very big problem, like a relegation battle, or, you know, where we end up 17th, 16th. This needs to be turned around before it comes to a Titanic situation.
Yeah, I totally agree with pretty much everything you've just said. That it's not a relegation battle now, but it's not something we shouldn't be looking over our shoulder at. It's something we've got to be mindful of, because it can creep upon you, you know, and teams below us have got a game in hand on us now. Obviously, we record on a Saturday night, so obviously the games haven't been played through yet on Sunday. So we've just got to be mindful of the teams around us now. And yeah, like you said, it could easily go 9th, 10th, have a good run of games, but it could easily slip down and finish 17th. And like you said, and I said this last week, that this season is pretty much a pre-season now. After the Newcastle game, I said it, because this is all about proving to the players that we want to sign, this is where you want to be, you know. And like you said, if we finish 17th, Coutinho's not coming. Players that we want, like some of the dream list, wish list players, like Basuma, Calvin Phillips and all that, they ain't going to come. They're not, because they know they're coming to try and, okay, then yeah, we could potentially finish in the top 10, but more than likely, not many teams go from 17th to 10th. Okay, we nearly did it with Dino. Fair enough. But it's a rarity. It's a progress. So they realise that if we finish 15th, 16th, they're going to be looking at least two seasons before we break that top 10, realistically. So before we move into the Brighton game, I need your player ratings, please. So we've got Martinez, Cash, Chambers, Mings and Dean.
So we'll have Martinez with a 7, because if it wasn't for him, it could easily have been 3. And just saying that out loud with them having 4 shots in the entire... Well, 4 shots on target is incredible. It's a tough one, really, because I thought Chambers and Mings were probably the better ones out of the defence.
Yeah, agreed.
So I'll give Cash... I'll have to give Cash and Dean a 3 each, and I'll give Chambers and Mings a 5, because I really think the fullbacks are a problem right now in the way that Jared wants to play.
Yeah, I agree with that. Martinez was my man of the match. I thought he was our best player. And I agree with the wing-backs. And I genuinely just think if he's going to change it for the Brighton game, that I think it's hard to say, do you use go just to full-backs and have wingers for the next game? Maybe bring, Bailey in. And then put... Well, I mean, I thought we looked better when Watkins come on as well. But it's going to be interesting when it does for the lineup. But yeah, for the ratings, yeah, Cash and Dean, both are 3. Shocking, in all honesty. Midfield 3, McGinn, Louise and Ramsey.
Another tough one, really. You know, Ramsey's still trying to bomb on, had a few chances. McGinn was an off day, I think. A lot of people on Twitter slating his performance today. And I didn't think Louise actually did too badly. I thought his passing was still pretty good. And he was in the right areas when we needed him to be. But, you know, it's still kind of square pegs, round holes with him. We're playing in a deep line, but it's the only player that we can really play there. So I'll give Ramsey and Louise a 5 and then McGinn a 4.
I gave Louise a 5. Ramsey a 5 and McGinn a 3. I thought he was right down there with the worst with Dean and Cash. Gave the ball away far too much for my liking. And I hope that he's dropped for next game. And I'm dropping Louise as well for the next game, to be fair. I'm having a complete midfield swap around, which we'll see in my lineup for the Brighton game. Front 3, please, of Buendia, Ings and Little Phil.
I mean, Buendia, you know, like we said earlier, he's gaining in confidence each game, even if it is a loss. And you can see his creativity and his ability coming through now. So just because it's a loss and, you know, we've got to be harsh, I'll give him a 5. I'll give Phil a 6 because there was a few chances where he, you know, the one where he cut back to the left-hand side of the goal, I thought if that went in, that had been a goal that was talked about for a long time. And then Ings, you know, did he have much to do? Did he have many chances?
No.
So, I mean, you know, the one chance that he did have, he really should have put away, even if with it being offside. So, I'll give Ings a 4.
I gave Buendia a 6, Coutinho a 6, and Ings a 5. I don't think he had much chance. I do think this whole keep changing the striker, because obviously what it just seems to be, we give Watkins 4, 5, 6 games, and then he does rubbish. We bring Ings in for 1, 2. We drop him and then go straight back to Watkins. I genuinely think we need to give Ings a good run of games. So for the next game, even though I think Watkins did well when he come on, I still think we should keep with Ings because he's going to score. His whole demeanour and his whole game plan is just to score goals, right place, right time. Okay, didn't really happen today, but nobody had a good game, really. So I'm still sticking with Ings, even though, like, I've given him a bad rating. The substitutes, please, of Leon Bailey, Ollie Watkins and Ashley Young.
I mean, made subs quite early for a change, but I know that he wanted to change the kind of style of play. You know, the Watkins one, I was surprised that to bring Louise off because, you know, of who was going to play deep. But Watkins, I'll give a 5. Bailey just can't seem to, you know, live up to the hype of what he was against that, you know, when he came on against Everton at the moment. So I can only give him a 3. And then Young, I'm going to give 2. I was tempted to give him a 1 just because of his marking for the goal.
Yeah, I'll give Bailey a 3. I think a lot of the hype is kind of slowly dying with every game he plays. But he's still getting used to the league. You know, he's not a write-off. He should be given another season at least. So yeah, Watkins, I would have gave him 5.5, but we don't do half ratings. Like I said, I think he offered a bit more and we seem to be better with him on the pitch. You know, just his usual pressing and just his, you know, he's just mad how little Ings does running wise compared to Watkins. And it's so noticeable when he comes on. And Ashley Young, yeah, I gave a 3. I thought he had a poor game. And just before we go into the Brighton game, just want to quickly ask, and what has Sanderson got to do to get a start? What has the man got to do? Because, like you said, is Louise come off, and it was quite strange that Watkins come on for him. Because when they were talking about Louise coming off on the commentary I was listening to, I thought there's pretty much it's either going to be Tim or Sanderson. It kind of makes no sense to be anybody else. So when I saw it was Watkins, I was like, okay, this is a bit strange, especially when at the time it was still 0-0. So yeah, so I, if anybody can answer that question, I would love to know.
Well, it just seems that we neglect French players, don't we? You know,
And then we moan when they do so well.
Send Gilbert out on loan because why not? And just yeah, just one thing, well, two things for me to touch on before we move on. One, I think that's Roy Hodgson's 10th win against Villa now as a manager. I saw a stat before the game where I'm pretty sure he'd won 9 games, which is the most against any team in the Premier League or in Premier League opposition. And another one, we touched on it last week. It's just, how poor have the corners and free kicks been today?
Very.
I just think, you know, that Dean one, that should be at least hitting the target for the free kick. It's right on the edge. You know, come on. That's a chance wasted for me. Corners, it seems like we're just whipping it in and hoping someone gets a head on it. It seemed like Watford near enough got every single header onto the ball. Just they need to improve as well going forward because it's one area that we can, you know, we could help from to gain something.
Yeah, it would be. And like you say, well, we beat Everton from a set piece and it just seems to have gone downhill so quickly. Like the whole Gerrard, you know, new manager vibe just seems to be rubbing off less and less every week. And I get that, you know, you got to trust the process, as they always say, trust the process. But it just, there just seems to be no game plan. And my issue was, even at 0-0, he kind of went... And I don't want to compare the two, but he went Sherwood on the game. He just wanted to throw everything in the kitchen sink to get a win. And it bit us in the arse because they counterattacked us. We've got one less man in midfield who, okay, then yeah, okay, it's Louise who we have slagged off. Fair enough. But he's still a midfielder by right, who's, you know, still kind of a defensive midfielder. And they hit us on the break and scored. And it just felt very... very Sherwood. And this season kind of feels, not, I wouldn't say exactly like the Sherwood season, but if you remember in that summer, we sold our best player in Benteke. We went and bought a shed load of players, which obviously was a lot of French league players. Which obviously doesn't really apply to what I'm saying, but we went and sold our best player and then tried to buy 4, 5, 6, 7 players, how many it was, I can't remember, and then say, we don't need just a Benteke because we've got a very good squad all round. And it feels that way because we've sold Grealish and it was very, well, what we're going to do is we're going to replace Grealish with 3, 4 better players. And then, you know, obviously Bailey coming, Buendia coming, Ings coming. So we can spread the love a bit more. And it seems to have gone the same way a little bit. And I'm not saying that Gerard's Sherwood, I'm not at all. But I've just got that vibe that it's just not working at the moment. And what is it, 1-1 in 9 now for Gerard? And it's what, it's 1-8. And it's just not good enough. Really, you know, it's just going to slowly keep getting worse. And it's just like, how long is it going to be until, because he seems to have this bit of aura about him where fans are very, if this were Dean Smith now, they'd be calling for him to be sacked again. I'm not saying we should be. I was pro Smith at the time. I'm still pro Gerrard now, but it's kind of, and I put this out on Twitter. Sorry, I am rambling a little bit, but it's like when we talked, when you said about his interview, what bugged me and grated me was he always says it's on me, right? And it's kind of starting to get to the sound a bit like dust ourselves down and go again. It's starting to sound like that already. You know, every time we lost under Bruce, dust ourselves down, let's go again. And every time I hear Gerard speak now, every time we lose or draw, It's on me. Do you know what I mean? Like, just kind of like waving it off. And I don't think you can do it this time. So I think it's fair, as you said, that we can be critical of anybody and everybody who pulls on the shirt, manager or player. And I just think that was a game that he let us down. And I think his lineup and his substitutes let us down this time. So don't know if there's anything you want to add before we move on.
I mean, I'll always say, I don't think you can fully blame a manager because, you know, the players that are picked to go out there are picked for a reason and they have a chance to perform. If they don't perform, that's not Gerrard's fault. If they perform, is it Gerrard? But, you know, is Gerrard like the Holy Trinity? Like, oh, if he didn't pick this player, then, you know, whatever. So players have got to take a massive responsibility as well. And, as well as Gerrard, but you know, it's a collective.
On to the Brighton game, which obviously we play on Saturday. How would you line up? I mean, is there any changes? Do you think he'll do any changes? What do you think, or how would you line up?
I mean, if we, you know, got a pound for every player that we got right, I think we'd only get 2 or 3. It could be like that, but it's going to be a really interesting one to see because, you know, like we said earlier, it'll be interesting to see what the lineup is when it comes around to the Brighton game. The problem is the players that we want dropped are our best players. So you have got to call upon the likes of either youth or inexperienced players to come in and perform better than the players that they're replacing. So you've got to get Chukwuemeka playing as good as McGinn. You've got Bailey to be like Coutinho. You've got whoever for... You got Young to be for Cash. You got House to be a Mings. You know, and all these other ones. That's the only problem I have because, you know, like I said, the players that everyone wants to drop are our best players. So they either need to perform, you know, get their finger out their ass and start playing, or they get dropped to show that they are not, you know, kind of like, oh, you're safe because you're one of our best players. So it's going to be a really tough one to predict a lineup. I genuinely think you might keep it the exactly same. There's a potential Konsa comes in, who knows, might even go to a 5-back because Chambers has impressed. You know, he's not done anything wrong, so why drop him? But we know that Gerrard doesn't play five back, so that's an option. Two up front's an option because he's not played that with Gerrard. But again, he doesn't like that formation. He normally has one up front, or you know, with two wingers or two tens. So it'll either be drastic changes or no changes at all. So I'll predict what I said for the Watford game last week.
Personally, like you said, I was going to ask whether you bring Konsa back in, and I think he will. I think he's got to show his ability now, because Konsa was pretty much untouchable. Even when Mings was having a bad game, Konsa was seemed to be untouchable from fans' opinions, which is fine because he was doing well. But this season, not so much. So I'm still bringing him in, but I am dropping Luiz and putting Chambers in the defensive midfield role. And I was thinking about bringing Tim in, but because I think the pressure's on, I think it might be too much, in my opinion. I think we need to... I wouldn't mind him getting minutes. I mean, I wouldn't mind him coming on for Luiz, I suppose. But yeah, personally, I'm putting Chambers in the defensive midfield role. Like you said, it's kind of a back five, but not really, if you get what I mean, where he's kind of sitting in that hole, Chambers would be. I'm swapping McGinn for Sanson. I'm desperate to see this guy play because he's a Champions League player. He is. He's played in it, simple as, and he's good enough. He needs a run of games, and McGinn has been poor for a while now. So I want to see Sanson come in, Chambers come into the midfield. Ramsey, you can't drop him. Top goal scorer, he's got to stay. And like you say, it's going to be interesting whether he puts two up front. But personally, I'm sticking with the same front three, Buendia, Coutinho and Ings. Ings needs a run of games. I fancy his chances. And I think Buendia and Coutinho are going to do well because Watford, and I don't know if you noticed this with Coutinho, he doesn't like to have a bit of a battle. He doesn't, obviously with him being like 4'8". Doesn't really help when some of the players that mark him are like 6'6". He doesn't like it. I think that's why he struggled with Dan Burns, and I think that's why he's gonna that's why he struggled against Watford. But I know there's Webster there, but Lamperty and that, I think he's gonna do well against. I think that's more his
bread and butter.
Yeah, he's more bread and butter. So I'm gonna leave that. So the players I want to see come in is Konsa, Chambers going to the midfield, and Sanson. How do you think it's going to go? Because obviously they had an absolute battering, a pasting against Burnley, which is a bit of a surprise. So yeah, I mean, Brighton obviously not doing that well at the moment. Burnley, you know, ended their 11th game without a win against Brighton, so it shows they can be beaten. But yeah, so how do you think it's going to go? Because I think this suits us more than a Watford type game.
Obviously, they're in a bit of a dip as well at the moment. You know, they've lost, like I said, 3-0 to Burnley, then 2-0 to United, then 2-0 to Watford. So they beat Watford 2-0. So they've had two losses in a row. But, you know, if you take out that Watford game that they won at near enough the start of Feb, then they went on a run of three draws. So... they're a funny team because at moments they've looked really good, but then again, they've struggled. So we've beat them this season so far at home, but that was a long time ago, you know, near the end of November. It's going to be a tough one, I think. There won't be a walkover, you know. They'll want to bounce back because I don't think many would have predicted Burnley to win 3-0. But I think we need to turn up and do our thing again, because their fixture runs over the next five games are harder than ours. So we've just got to go. We've said this for a few weeks now. We've got to go out there and perform. But, you know, there's only so many times you can say that before. It just doesn't happen. And, you know, it's happened the last two games. Well, maybe two and a half games. So, yeah, I can see them. Well, the tactics being quite matched. You know, they like to play quite similar to how Gerrard does. You know, their fullbacks will get forward. they'll try and play on the counter. They've got good creative players and intelligent players. Let's just hope Bissouma doesn't do anything. And then Gerrard can, you know, get him after the game, speak to him and, you know, potentially sell him Aston Villa and bring him in the summer.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, Mopay always seems to like to have a pop-up against Konza.
Yeah.
He loves a Konza battle, so that's always one. So what is your prediction and goal scorers, if any?
I mean, I can't see us scoring more than one. So I'm going to have to be, you know, a bit of a downer and say 1-1. And you know what? I'm going to say Sanson to score. Why not?
I'll take that. But no, I'm going to go 2-0. 2-1, sorry. 2-1. Maupay always loves a pop-up. And I'm going to go for a Danny Ings and a Konza. Just because it's Maupay versus Konza. So I think they're both going to score. Before you get your binoculars out on the old loan watch, there is a question I want to ask. I have asked it on Twitter. But it is a bit of a negative Nelly, but it is literally just the question I want to ask, because there was a lot of debate today whether Gerrard's the right man, whether we should talk with Smith. And I know it's all, you know, if buts and fairy dust, because Gerrard's here now. So the question I'm going to ask you is, if we pick up 0 wins in the remaining games and we finish 16th, 17th, and that's due to previous points, obviously we've got 9 points lead on the bottom three, and obviously we pick up some draws, so there's no wins, pick up some draws, but that's it really. Do you allow Gerrard to take charge of the 22-23 season, yes or no? And if so, if no or yes, what's your reasoning?
Probably yes. You know, he's coming to sell a dream. Well, you know, a project, the hierarchy of Villa have, you know, obviously admire him and his ambitions. Who's to say that he doesn't take us to, you know, seventh place next season or whatever? You know, we've only had a January transfer window with him. And not many teams like to sell in January anyway. So I think we've got lucky with the players that we have got in January. So imagine what he can do in the summer. I mean, I would, because I think Gerrard doesn't want to ruin his reputation, and we can't get into the kind of the Watford kind of thing of sacking a manager every 6 months. So we need a consistent figure, because look, you know, Smith had, what was it, 3.5 years with us and got promoted through the playoffs, kept us up, and then had an 11th place finish. Gerrard has just over half a season with us, and you know, if he has the same, he'll probably have the same effect as Smith. So, you know, keep us up, then next season is the one where we will push on. And you know, pre-season is massive. You know, a lot of people say pre-season is huge for a manager. So give him you've got to give him a full season, and you need to let him get rid of the players that he wants to get rid of and bring in the players that he wants to be able to take us forward.
Yeah, I mean, I put down that he should be allowed. I saw some of the comments I've got is basically, you know, he should be given 6-7 games and then judge him after that, because if he spends 100 million, you know, he's going to be under pressure. I've seen some people say, you know, don't give him 100 million and they give him X amount, you know, just in case it doesn't work. But then I said that you're not really backing the manager. You've already made that decision. He's not the right guy if you're not going to fully back him. So it is kind of a hard situation, and I kind of get that, you know, it's not an easy question to ask. But to be fair, as the polls, as it stands, 63% said yes, I'd still back him even if we don't pick up another win. So, which is quite unlike Villa fans to back a manager who's going to pick up 0 wins in, what, 8-9 games? So on top of the 3 that we haven't won in. Like I say, we're going to go into the last part of the podcast now, which is Callum and his binoculars, been out on the old loan watch. So how have we been getting on? Because obviously I know Archer scored today, and everyone's raving to see him and begging him to come back. So yeah, take it away, mate.
Well, I'm not going to do as many loan players as we did last week. I think I near enough covered everyone. Obviously, there's some players who aren't playing, or just either not good enough, that I don't think anyway. So the likes of Harahan, Wesley, not involved in this. But if they start playing again, then they obviously will be involved. So since the last time we spoke, we'll start off with Matt Target. He played 90 minutes for Newcastle in a 1-1 draw with West Ham. Obviously, he couldn't play against us, ineligible with a loan club. But again, there's a few people from Newcastle, you know, the reports coming out that, you know, a lot of Villa fans actually saying how Matt Target is now a bombing on left back for Newcastle. He seems to have changed his game, but I think he's trying to play for the move. So there's that. But nothing to do with goal returns or assist returns yet for him. Next up, we go to another fullback, and it's Frederick Gilbert, who is out on loan in France with Strasbourg. And yet again, he's gained 3 points with Strasbourg with 87 minutes under his belt against Angers. You know, he's just a consistent player for them. I think I said the other week that he got in team of the week. The other week, he's played a little bit higher up recently, from right back to like right wing back or right midfield. So, you know, he's been adaptable, and, you know, they are a decent team, Strasbourg. I don't know where they are in the league, but, you know, it's probably likely that he will get moved to Strasbourg on a permanent deal at the end of the season. I could see that happening because I don't think he'll be staying, even though I'd like him to. I thought he was a good player when he was with us. Next is Trezeguet. And obviously he's gone on loan to Besiktas, and he's actually doing very well. Wouldn't be surprised if we get an informed card of Trezeguet. He played 89 minutes at the weekend, or, you know, midweek or whenever it was, and scored 2 goals. So he's already scored he scored 2 goals already and had 1 assist, and that's in 2 games where he's had 9 goals, 5 assists and 64 for Villa. So maybe he needed the move to gain his confidence and come back a better player. But again, another player I can see being sold in the summer. Another player that I think will be sold in the summer is Anwar El Ghazi, who's only featured 9 minutes with Everton. I think that's the problem with him at the moment is because he came under Rafa Benitez and then he got sacked. So, but we all have conspiracy theories about why he moved to Everton. Luca Dean rings bells. Next, we move into the Championship with our first player, Agent Jed Steer, who kept a clean sheet against West Brom in a 2-0 win for Luton Town. And it was his first appearance in the Championship with them after after not being in the side for 3 games in the Championship. But in between that time, he did play in the FA Cup against Cambridge and won 3-0. So he's had 2 clean sheets to his name, 2 appearances. Lovely stuff. Well done, Jed. And also taking 3 points off West Brom is always loved at our end. And next player is Keenan Davis. Unfortunately, missed the game against Bournemouth because it was called off due to Storm, whatever the friggin' hell the name is. So unfortunately, he misses a game this weekend. But, you know, still highly rated with Forest fans. 3 goal involvements in 8 games, but he is a handful for defences. Would be nice to see if he can get to 10 goals for the season, but probably someone that Forest might be interested in to sign permanently. And I think if we can get 5 million for him, 5, 10 million maybe, I don't know. That sound about right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Next, someone who I was pleading to score this weekend, Jaden Philogie and Bidace on loan at Stoke. They played Birmingham this weekend. He played 90 minutes, had a decent game, didn't have a goal and an assist, but he's in and around the first team already, and he's had four matches in a row. That's 90 minutes or more, and having 1 goal to his name, which is fantastic. you know, he's already got near enough 400 minutes with Stoke. And I reckon he'll be in the first team all season long now. And the final player in the Championship, you said his name at the start, Mr. Cameron Archer. A lot of people calling for him to come back this season or, you know, to be recalled. Not sure if that's in the contract or, you know, with the agreement with Preston. I would doubt it because it's now until the end of the season. There is no window. So technically we'd be screwing over Preston. But yeah, he scored again today in a 3-2 loss to Reading. You know, Reading have got a good squad and that probably doesn't show it in the table. But he's got another goal, another 90 minutes under his belt. And for Preston in the league, sorry, in the Championship, he's nearly got 500 minutes in 7 games, something that he's needed. You know, they love him up there. They've got the Cameron Archer baby chant rocking and rolling near enough every game. So it is, I mean, I was surprised he got a Championship move and he's been able to score goals in there, especially that goal against Peterborough, a fantastic goal it was. We move into League One with Kane Kessler-Hayden. A bit of a frustrating time for him right now because he's not in the first team for MK Dons, but he has been gaining minutes slowly but surely. You know, I think he gained a few minutes this weekend and he's only had 72 minutes otherwise. So I think he's coming halfway through a season with a team challenging for promotion compared to a team in League Two, which is mid-table. So it's going to take him time to get in, and hopefully by the end of the season he can get into the first team of MK Dons, because the first half of the season he was brilliant for Swindon Town. Talking of Swindon Town, Louis Barry now wrapped up 4 appearances for the League One team. This time, well, the last 2 games actually, he's been very impressive in a 3-0 win over Scunthorpe and a 3-0 win over Carlisle. And in that Carlisle game, he got his first goal for Swindon Town. So he's starting to find the net and also be a mainstay in the first team for Swindon, which is something he's needed all season with him being messed around by Ipswich. And then the final player is Aaron Ramsey, the younger brother of Jacob Ramsey. I think their game also got postponed today against Wickham, unfortunately, or something like that anyway. He's played 200 minutes in 4 games. The last game he did play was 90 minutes against Fleetwood, 2-0 win. Before that was 73, so his minutes are going up. Getting first team football in League One with Cheltenham Town, and that's only going to help his career grow to say that he is 19. So hopefully, you know, sooner rather than later, we could have Louis Barry on the left, Archer on the in the middle, Bidace on the right. You could have Ramsey and Chucklemaker. You could have Tim in there. We haven't got a left back yet. I know we Seb Reban is out on loan at the moment, but that's in the National League, so I think he might be a few years behind. Gilsvert and Bodegaard, why not? Right back, Hayden, and then goalkeeper, you've got Pickford, the keeper, it's either Cincillo, that Hungarian goalkeeper that I can never remember the name of. Is it like Oedina? Yeah, something weird like that. And Marshall. So, you know, technically and, you know, theoretically, the future is bright. And we always love that saying, don't we?
We do indeed. We do indeed. Like I say, we normally do the women's, but I know they are on international break, I believe. So we haven't got anything. I know we talked about the Everton 2-0 win last weekend. So that wraps up this podcast this week. Thank you guys for listening. I hope we haven't bored you for too long. We will be back after the Brighton fixture for the next episode. So thank you guys for listening. Up the Villa.